welcome to the Not-So-Secret Guide to Being a Berkeley Engineer. I'm Laura Vogt, the Communications and Events Manager for Engineering Student Services. And this week, we're really excited to have our Director of Programs for Engineering Student Services, Marvin Lopez. Marvin, why don't you introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about your background?
Good morning, everyone. So my name is Marvin Lopez, and I am Director of Student Programs in Engineering Student Services. And I am delighted, first of all, to be part of the podcast and part of the Not-So-Secret Guide, and be able to share my story and a little bit about my background and what I've gone through to get here. So going back to my college days, I started in the corporate world. So I have an engineering background from UCLA. So I have a CSE background, the equivalent of our EECS degree here, and started as an engineer and as a programmer, actually, at one time. Some people laugh at some of the languages that I've used, but I was a programmer at one time. But along the way, I realized that I had a passion for discovering and developing talent, and in particular, university talent. I found this passion as I was managing different systems and recruiting for the different systems and different divisions. And so I got deeper and deeper into the recruiting world and further away from true technology world. And so I migrated out of software development into management and ultimately into recruiting. And at the same time, diversity programs. So I managed or got involved in both internal diversity programs in the companies or in the companies that I've been in things like employee resource groups, diversity councils, and external efforts like sponsoring MESA and some of the programs that I now run here. So over the years, I realized that I had this passion, went into the recruiting world, and got very involved out on campus, working closely with actually here at UC Berkeley, at UCLA, San Jose State. And after a while of doing the corporate thing, I realized that, I did a stint at a startup. I realized that, I'd kind of been there, done that. And this role opened up and people reached out to me that said, hey, this is something right up your alley. You might be interested. Threw my name in the hat and here I am. So. Very excited because I never thought I would actually be on campus as much as I thought it sounded interesting. But I love it and I enjoy it, and the greatest job I've ever had.
Fantastic, and we're so glad that we have you here. This week our theme is we're talking about resilience. So we actually had the Momentum Speaker Series that we did last week.
That's right.
And we're excited that we had 5 students come and present with us. And so we wanted to delve a little bit further into it and tell another experience of resilience that I think students can relate to and understand. And I understand that you have one of those kinds of stories.
So I have, an interesting story. And I think fundamentally my story is one that is not linear. And I think the path to quote-unquote success or the path to being happy in what you do is never necessarily linear. It can be. Some people do, go to a linear path, and that's okay. But a lot of us and most of us don't. And my path is one of those that's not very linear. There's two key moments that stand out in my life that really speak to adversity that had me deal with adversity. And one, and the two quotes that specifically come to mind, and one is when the dean of student affairs, or the, I forget what it's called at UCLA, but the equivalent of the dean of student affairs, had me in his office and told me, so Marvin, convince me why we shouldn't dismiss you. And I thought, okay.
That's a big thing to have to explain for yourself.
It is. and it's funny because, 30 years later, it's just stuck in my head so clearly, and I could, it takes me back immediately sitting there like a 5-year-old in front of the dean having to explain why he shouldn't dismiss me. So I explained why and what had happened and, what I would do forward and so forth. And, he didn't dismiss me and, I finished my career. And I'll tell you more about that in a minute. But the other, going forward, I guess, 20 years from then, I did graduate, went on to professional career. And I was at my company or the company that I'd been with for 19 years where I thought, I would retire. After a while, you think 19 years, another 19, I'm good to go. And same kind of thing. My boss brought me in and said, unfortunately, Marvin, we've decided to eliminate your job along with your whole team. So please notify your team first, and then we'll deal with your position.
Oh, no.
So not only did I have to lay them off, but I had to get myself laid off as well. So, two jolting, completely different times and places, but two very jolting events in my life. So thinking back to over, you know, the two situations and what happened, and how I dealt with it, I think the three things that I did that got me through that and got me to this day. One is attribution. So one thing I didn't do, and I think that it's critical when it comes to dealing with adversity, is blaming anyone. It doesn't help any, right? I didn't blame anybody, even myself, because blaming in and of itself doesn't help you move forward. It just, it's an act that feels productive, but isn't. In the end, it doesn't get you anything, even if it's yourself. And there were things that I did from my college days that, you know, perhaps I shouldn't have done. Bad decisions I made, the social opportunities that I took too much advantage of, shall we say. But in the end, blaming that didn't help me didn't help me go forward. And certainly when in terms of the layoff, blaming the company, blaming my boss, blaming anybody didn't help me any. You know, the point was, where do I go from here? So blaming was not, I was glad that I had the wisdom, however I got that, not to blame and think of attribution was not going to help me any. The other thing I did is not look back. Not look back in the sense of what was different, what happened, but in the sense of, you know, should have and could have, right? To me, those are the two most useless words in the English language. I guess they're contractions, but whatever. And that, you know, what I should have and could have done at that point, yeah, it serves no purpose, right? And I think usually they serve no purpose because it's too late. And then the other thing I did is reach out to not only people and resources, not, you know, official resources and organizations and programs, but people, you know, the network, the proverbial network that would, you know, guide me, support me, and in particular, you know, open doors to other possibilities. I think to look at what things, not how things were, but how things could be. And ultimately hold me accountable. So, you know, in the end, you know, I had to take steps going forward. And right, reaching out to others, they held me accountable to the plan that I laid out, whether it was to graduate and complete my degree or find the next opportunity in the industry. And I think those three things helped me get through it, you know, to this day.
Now that you've known what you take with you and what you go forward, how do you try to share this information with students?
You know, I often see students that struggle so adversity comes in many shapes, right? In many shapes, many forms. And also doesn't just come once. That's the other thing, that it doesn't just happen once, you're done and you check a box and you're done. It's a process and a journey that, you know, for many students, for many of us, is never done. Sometimes it is, sometimes it isn't. And I notice a lot of students, you know, that face adversity for whatever reason, whether it's systemic adversity, just from where they come from, the background, the resources, the advantages they have or haven't had, or the adversity here in terms of the classes they take, their peers, the climate. They get caught up in this cycle of blaming, of whose fault is it, and do I have the confidence to get through? And so I think when I hear that, I let them know that I share my story, that, you know, if I got through this, and I know for a fact that these students are far smarter than I am. I know for a fact that I would never get into engineering today. that if I got through it, they can get through it, and it's all about moving forward. That they need to, you know, look to within, not just within themselves, within their environment, with the programs we have here, their peers, advisors, that this entire family of support that they can reach out to move forward and overcome whatever it is that they face. Because ultimately, it's, you know, it takes a village. It does take a village, the proverbial village to raise a child. It does take a village to get through the challenges that we all face. And if they reach out and take advantage of those resources, they can get through it too. And so I share that story, you know, as much as I can with individuals. And I know that, you know, it's had resonance with a lot of students.
And I know part of the team that you work with, I'm on the team, but one of the things that we talk about often is what resources do we have for the students to help them? So maybe not even that they have to deal with the resilience, maybe we can get them before they get to a point that
right.
They need that.
Exactly. And I think it's being prepared to, you know, and accept that they will face adversity, that their journey here, and most journeys here, are not linear. I think what unfortunately what happens on our campus and many campuses, really top schools, there's a lot of bluffing to some extent. There's, you know, students that want to portray their story in a very linear, you know, stepwise successful path. That isn't really true. You know, we know for a fact that it's not true very often.
Right.
And so there's a lot of this bluffing, gamesmanship with, you know, with each other, that that in fact isn't there. And I think to prepare them that they will face adversity, and that perhaps their peers who think they have it all together may not necessarily have it together. If they're ready for that, I think that then we can preclude a lot of these issues. But, you know, sometimes they just you can't avoid it. And so having the wherewithal to know where to reach out, how to reach out, and in particular the comfort level of reaching out is what will get them through the whatever challenges they may face.
And one of the great places for students to start with if they're looking for information is to go to our website, which is engineering.berkeley.edu/ESS. And you'll find information there about programs that we have, the advisors. We've got Christine from the Tang Center actually comes up here a couple days a week
that you can
sit down and talk to. We have plenty of resources, and we want students to take advantage of them. That's why we have them.
Right. And I think we wanted to remind them that the greatest resource they have is, besides themselves, ultimately, is their peers. Mm-hmm. No one can get them through through whatever they're facing than their peers, because more likely their peers are facing the same adversity, have faced the same adversity, or at least can relate the most to what they're facing. And reaching out to their peers and being honest and open and vulnerable is enormously powerful. You know, when I faced my challenges in college and in the professional world, it was my peers that got me through. So, you know, we had the same programs at UCLA that we have here now. In fact, I run the similar programs to what that got me through school. But ultimately, the people that got me through are my peers, one of whom works here on campus. And that's what got me through, is reaching out and having the guidance and listening to their guidance and having them hold me accountable to whatever plan that I created to go forward. And on the industry side, after my layoff, same thing. Reaching out to my friends in various organizations, or just friends in general, that had gone through similar situations and can hold me accountable and support me. That's what got me through. And I think without that, I literally would not be here today.
So now as we get ready to wrap up, is there anything else that you wanted to add that you didn't get a chance, or any other final thoughts?
You know, the only thing I would say in terms of adversity and being resilient is believe that that you can make it. If, you know, confidence is the one thing that I see that falls apart. The first thing that goes when resilience when you face resilience, the belief that you belong in whatever it is that you're in. Whether, you know, that was my first thought when I got laid off, that, oh my God, after 19 years, I guess I don't belong here anymore. I guess they don't want me anymore. I'm not good enough. And it's not the case, right? Things happen completely outside your control most of the time. Other times it is within your control. But ultimately, if you're confident and believe that you belong wherever it is that you belong, that you want to be, you can make it happen. And it's all about moving forward. You cannot look back. You can't look down. You can only look up and forward. Reach out, connect, and you can do it. I did it. It worked out. And I have no doubt that our students can do it as well.
Well, thank you so much for taking the time to come and talk to us today and sharing your story. And I know other people are going to appreciate it.
It's my pleasure. That's why I came here, to, you know, to do what other people did for me many years ago. So thank you for the opportunity.
And thank you, everyone, for tuning in to the Not-So-Secret Guide to Being a Berkeley Engineer. And we'll talk at you next week. Thank you.